Angie wasn't feeling well enough to talk. She's okay, but it comes and goes, so she just needs to rest. So I get to give a Dharma talk. I think Kogan always laughed at the idea of Dharma talk, but just the phrase Dharma talk. So I just remembered it the minute it came out of my mouth. I think I thought of it later, why that was funny to him. I still don't know. Maybe someone can clarify that. There's the Dharma, and there's the Buddha, and there's the Sangha, and where does talk come into that? You know, he was doing it. He was doing the whole thing. So, is it called Teisho? I don't think he called it that either, but... I've been listening to, thanks to Judy very much, and now being able to read transcripts of Kogan's talks from way back, and thanks to Mike and Cliff and others, I'm sure, transcripts of other talks, so far mostly from Naropa, I think. And Ben and I read them and listen to them. Actually, Cliff's are still the ones Cliff is doing are still at the Jikoji website. They're actually not transcripts. You can listen to them. But Balin and I are always been going through the ones Judy transcribed for quite a while, and now the ones that we had to listen to from Kogan. The first feeling, maybe, if I can remember a first feeling, is that, oh, I missed something, and I have to bone up on it. I have to get what Kogan was teaching. And it's true, some things you hear the first time and they keep coming around and you need to hear them again and again. And even things like practice in terms of posture and humor and looking at that. You know what, though, he changed, I noticed. He did kind of change the way he explained things anyway, listening to the tapes. And could be I remember them wrong also, that's, I'm sure. But what I feel right now is that we are getting whatever it is right here. And I'm just really grateful that this place is still here and that all of you are still here. And some of you, I just saw Daniel, who I haven't seen for well, a long time, 40 years or something like that. And we have a place and a strong practice to come back to here. And just so grateful to the Jikoji Sangha. Again, I can't say it too many times. I'm just learning again. I told Angie on the phone before coming up here, like, could we just go over the Heart Sutra service? You know, there's a few details I don't get. You know, I still can't remember. And she's told me, at every sesshin, different people have told me how to do doshi, and I'm just really, really slow. And And you have to do it. You know, since I'm not in a monastic setting, that's my excuse, although Jerry says, well, you could do it at home in terms of getting my robe right. So I don't do it very often. So thanks to everyone for that, including today, all the people who propped up my robe for me, and I still working on that. We're all learning just things like that, and we're all being propped up by each other in a wonderful way. I feel that way. And just being supported, just to be able to sit here. I really do, enjoy sitting. This is the second day, so I was making a little joke to myself. I wonder where this talk is going. Anyway, I was making a little joke to myself. You know that bumper sticker, drugs are for people who can't handle reality. And then I thought, Zazen is for people who can't, I've got it wrong. Zazen is for people who can't handle suffering. And then then was my ha-ha. People think we're trying to get away from the world and trying to get away from suffering when we come here. And a lot of my friends, I find myself translating that I'm going on a retreat. Like Angie was saying yesterday, her neighbors go, oh, how nice, you're going on a retreat. And on the one hand, they don't know that it's everything's here. They would find out quickly enough. But they also don't know that everything's here. You know? So here we are. A lot of you don't know each other. I don't know if it's. Does anyone feel it's appropriate to do names, or do you usually do that? No. I'm Paula.
I'm Yoshi.
I'm Joe.
Bree.
Jerry.
Joanne.
Jonathan.
Michael.
Chris.
Malcolm.
Ben.
Todd. We got this row still.
Marco.
Abby.
John.
Judy.
John.
Yeah. Okay, you do it the way you have it figured out. Keep going.
Carol.
Ying.
Sue.
Andy.
Rob.
Sue, Judy,
Jonna,
Samuel,
John, Dennis.
Hi. So I'm living in San Diego now. And some of us are here from San Diego. Balin and I, for people who knew us before, we're still together from way back in the Santa Cruz Indo time. And Dennis is here from San Diego, and Joanne's from San Diego. And Rob's from Arcata. Where's Rob going? And is anybody else from a distance? Well, there's Carolyn and Chris from Santa Cruz.
Vallejo feels far away.
Vallejo feels really far away.
Oakland is the closest I've lived. Yeah. This is the shortest I've
lived. Well, maybe San Jose. Angie wants me to give a practice discussion. To participate in practice discussions starting tomorrow, and it might be helpful for me to know. What do we think of practice discussions? It's not Dogasan, it's not with the teacher. It's a practice discussion, but it is one-on-one. It's sometimes it's hard to know. You know that you have all these thoughts going around, and if you try to think of what you're going to ask tomorrow, I don't think there's much point to that. But, you know, try. See how that works. Because then you'll have some more thoughts about what might be a good thing to talk about. You know, you might have come, though, with a burning question. I hope it's an easy one that you want to ask. And that could very well still be with you. I've heard people mention the word intimacy lately, or I'm picking it up lately in the last few years. I do Skype with Andy to keep in touch once a week or once every other week now, and I used to prepare ahead of time because we're talking about reading and I'd have questions and really, you know, I feel like, you know, I should be able to answer some questions, and so I'm trying to get sort of her answers or what, you know, what it is. And she's very kind about that, but now we're reading the book, The Transmission of the Light. That's the book we're reading now. And it's all the different ancestors and what, after a while, over and over, a different ancestor and their story with their teacher, and then the way they passed that, who they are when they met their teacher, they're still that, but they have that teacher in them now, and then that gets passed to the next student, and it's all happening in the moment between two people. And sometimes the questions that you have written down, you know, and that I'll just say myself, that I have written down, you know, and I'm just reading off my questions and taking notes when Angie's talking, well, that's okay. But sometimes it's just being there and see, you know, looking at Angie is kind of neat on Skype because it's just your face and your shoulders, and you're just looking at each other, you know, and you're just there, and it's not scary or anything. It used to be when I go in to do it, I didn't have Dogasan for many, many years, 15 years or something, and then I came here. Again, for my first sesshin in that time, could have been longer, and I had Dogasan with Angie, and it was hard to just sit there and look, just be there and look at her, and she's looking at me so openly and kindly, and I was always looking like that. I remember that actually with Mike too. I was like, when I had Dogasan with Mike, that it gets easier, I guess, and at least for a moment acknowledging that, oh, well, there's a participation going on here, there's a moment that contains both of us as well as everything else, but this is something being enacted. That said, when I think of practice, I do practice discussion. I do think of things that come up about posture and not to try to do something, as Angie said, not to try to get something, but, you know, you can feel more where you are if you're able to get the refinement, let alone the basics, but the refinements of the posture. And I'm thinking right now, how's my mudra? You know, I had a frozen shoulder, and ever since then, it's like having trouble with my mudra. So that shoulder thing really helped. But just that, and Dylan and I are really always on to that. Dylan once told me a few years ago, you used to have such a beautiful mudra. And that was nice that I used to have one. So he's been helping me, you know, get that. And I've been working on it myself for a couple of years, you know. Not like working, but whenever I'm doing my stacking myself back up, I remember it. And now Balin's wanting me to, could you, before you sit down, just sort of tap me to know if I'm leaning to one side or not? So we're still really into that. It's not not a trivial matter whatsoever. I'm certainly glad to give you any help that I can during the practice discussions. And I think what else comes up is all you, so maybe it's not the details that matter so much, but maybe it is. But I know when Coben, I've told this story, I won't go long about it, but when I talked to Coben and Dokusan, I was actually advised to ask him to show me the Zazen posture. So one-on-one, Coben transmitted that Zazen posture to me. And amazing, not just the posture, but the kindness, the openness and everything that a teacher can transmit to us. But later I would bring up things like my relationship, and he was game, you know. He would tell you things about what to do about your relationship, you know. Half the time I don't think they're a good idea necessarily, you know, but what he was like a Japanese male, you know. But it was someone that really was there, you know, and he was there in a way that my okayness was manifest, and that's what I got from it. But sometimes he took the details because he cared about the details. He wasn't trying to teach me anything. Like the story I was going to say was when I told Coben, this was at Dokusan in the park, as we often had to meet there in the park because he didn't really have a place to meet all the time, and in Los Altos. And I told him, well, I just can't really, you know, do Zazen, I can't calm down and have much of a, in essence, a spiritual life because my daughter's always playing the same song over and over and over again, you know, and even when she's not playing it, it's still going through my head. And out of that detail, so I'm not saying don't bring details from your life, because out of that detail was one of the most memorable experiences with Coben, is when I said about the song, he said, what was the name of the song? He wasn't trying to be deep or anything. But to me, it was deep. So I was telling Balin that I think maybe it's okay with practice discussions that people do talk about their lives because that's their practice, because out of that can come the present moment as experience between us. So I don't know how much time we have, but I'd like to hear a few ideas for what people think that they that are, is helpful as a practice discussion. Can you tell me how much time we have?
It's 12:15. We have 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I sure want to talk with you about my posture sitting.
Oh, good.
My arms are so long, I'm so tall, I can't hold myself up, so it's real.
Maybe that's strong. My problem, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I actually never heard the term until Andy told me that I was going to do it. Well, it's just like, you know, we're, you and I are sitting down and talking about things, and I guess we think our teachers, and they are way experienced and have, I don't know when I think about it. That's why I'm asking.
Answer. I think, because I've done both, I think it really is just a difference of who you're talking to and their title or what they
right.
Accomplished.
Yeah.
So you're, it's the same discussion or same idea.
Right, okay, good.
It's just called different things.
Yeah, for the, you know, the really deep stuff, you could ask Angie and Mike. You know, I'll always take a stab at it.
My reaction is that Angie didn't want you to be scared. So she told you it was going to be a practice.
You know, I had that feeling too. She is, I hope, going to be able to give Dokusan, but she's very, you know, limited, and we have to be very selfless in wanting her time. So she really is. She's fine, but she looks great, and she just needs to rest. So that's why I'm pitching in a little bit. But she. I hope that she plans to do some Dokusan, but not a, probably as long as people would wish or as many people as would wish.
I wanted to say, I really enjoyed your Doshi. Like, I don't know how comfortable you felt up there, but, and then when you said that the transmission is by watching it, like, I felt like I got your Doshi as well. Like, it, you know, that there was an authentic transmission there, just in that simple. And I also am really enjoying listening to your talk, because I've sat with you for so much, but I haven't heard you talk this much.
Thank you. I think Doug was the Doan the first time that I had to get up there and do the service, and you know, I just, my memory is just not what it was. But I said, you know, Doug, I think I did too many bows. And he said, oh, but they were so sweet. What Angie said just recently was when I said, well, could you just tell me, like, the essence of what the Doshi does, sort of like approach to Zen? You know, what's the approach to Doshi? And she said, well, you're serving Buddha. And it's not you serving Buddha. And you cannot make a mistake.
How do you help people in practice discussion to loosen their attachment to themselves? What's the best advice you have for them?
I've never given one, but if you'd like to sign up first.
Maybe you could give us a clue just now as to how we could proceed to not be so attached to ourselves.
I don't have a clown hat, but I could put on my clown hat.
In my experience with practice discussion, Dokusan, often I do have kind of a question that I'm going there with to ask, and it turns out to not matter. Because it's either resolved already, sit down and just, or I forget
know.
It,
I know.
Or suddenly it's unimportant.
I know. Although I say that from many, many sittings of... That one disappeared. That one, and there may be value in that too, sitting there and watching everything come and disappear. Just like every thought, it's just going to come and disappear. So maybe it gives that intensity that we're not trying to learn anything, unfortunately. So.
Sometimes the teacher doesn't give you an answer. Now that Mike's gone, I can share a story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a few.
I thought we were going to have Dokusan, but it turned out to just be a walk around the pond.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to know if I had any questions, and my question was, I don't have any questions. Is that a problem? And he didn't give me an answer.
Was that a problem that he didn't give me an answer?
I don't know. He just—I don't know if he didn't hear me or just—he was looking at the pond, and half a minute goes by, and he just goes, "Oh, the water on the pond's a little bit low."
Mike's very good at selective answering.
Yeah. Paula, when I first started going to retreats, I practiced with a teacher who would have upwards of 300 people in attendance in a great hall, and he would do a group Dokusan under a different name after a Dharma talk. Well, actually, he would do a Dharma talk and then it would be a question and answer period. And he had a term for it which escapes my mind at the moment. But the point I want to make, and what struck me pretty quickly after the first time I went, was that people would come up to the microphone and ask very personal, discreet questions about physical sensations they were having, body issues, relationship issues, concerns about the war all the time and the death of the planet. I mean, you name it, and the stuff was coming. And what I found was that regardless of the question, his answer was for everyone. And it was remarkable in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Who was that teacher?
His name is Adyashanti.
Thank you.
Satsang. Satsang is what you want.
Satsang, thank you.
I think it's probably time now. Thank you.